Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board here on a Wednesday. Busy hour on tap. In 15 minutes, we'll update you on the angle 35-10. Going back to January 20th, our producer Luke put it together. He joined us earlier on the program. If you missed any of it, highly encourage you to go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. And we'll tell you which plays fit the bill coming up tonight and talk about the other games on the schedule as well. Matt Youmans on the show in 30 minutes, his best bets tonight as well. He's got a bunch in college basketball. A little NFL here, Pauly. ESPN had a big story today of predicting every single starting quarterback for all 32 teams next year in the NFL. We don't have to talk about every team because you know half of them anyway. But we can start off with the Cleveland Browns. Who knows what they're going to do? We had on Tony Rizzo from the Combine yesterday, and he's basically saying the same thing. They predicted Kyler Murray to the... That would be... Oh, God, that's a waste, isn't it?
Well, that's disappointing, number one. I'd rather he winds up in Minnesota or Atlanta. Number two, it would get me off Browns win total bets. I would not want under 6.5 if this happens, based on how bad the quarterback play was. And this is going to be a serious upgrade for Cleveland.
Well, I saw a video during one of the breaks today on Twitter where evidently Kevin Stefanski has had two different opportunities to publicly say Michael Penix is his quarterback this year.
Uh-huh.
He's 0-2.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, if I'm Kyler Murray, like honestly, put yourself in his shoes. Would you want to go and play with the Cleveland Browns? Or would you want to go and play with the Atlanta Falcons and what they have to offer?
Mm-hmm.
On offense, their weapons inside that division, you can actually win, I think, potentially a bunch of games with the Falcons next year. So the Browns, I think that would be a
listen. I am not a fan of this guy, but we are talking about some trash later in this article.
Yes,
Rattler, Will Levis has been floated.
Oh, don't say that.
So it brings me to this guy, Famous Jameis, at one of these possible spots, which I know he's a turnover machine. But imagine the fun we could have again,
Paul,
if you put him in a good spot with weapons and how good he looked. We went into Detroit and almost beat him, yeah, and he made it rain out there.
You don't have to twist my arm on Famous Jameis. I was begging for this last year. I need more of him. The league needs more of that guy. Yes, he's good for a pick six or an INT coming out of absolutely nowhere when they're driving down the field. However, the guy can actually play the sport and the position.
Come on. The Jets to get Spencer Rattler? That'd be terrible. Well, and that's the prediction here.
That's their prediction.
That they have. But because you were all over it last year, imagine, number one, he would have won the award, but what the Saints' record would have been if they went with Shuck earlier.
Right. Okay, so do you have those DK win totals or anybody else win totals in front of you?
I got it. Arizona Cardinals are 4.5.
What's the Jets?
Because it's going to be... The Jets were, I can't believe it. They were at least opened up 6.5.
Oh, my good God.
I mean, how are the...
What are we doing here?
5.5. Yeah, right. Right. I can imagine with Spencer Rattler?
Yes, I can.
Or what else their quarterback could be? Will Levis was another possible guy rumored there. And we'll talk to
the Jets?
We'll talk to Jet Whispers tomorrow. But it's like, are you kidding me? That's what you're looking at?
Oh, my God. They're the worst team in the league again.
Yeah.
If either one of those guys would be their starting quarterback.
Now, I wasn't in love with Moore and didn't like taking him at number two anyways. But that, you know, went against him, so it's a moot point. But there's just got to be better off. It's 5.5 under minus 120. Yeah, they're not winning 6 games.
Well, okay, so you brought up the Cardinals. Their win total is 4.5. Obviously, in that division, it's going to be extremely difficult for the new head coach and the staff to put together a very competitive team in year one. The new head coach is Mike LaFleur. By the way, his offensive coordinator is Nathaniel Hackett. And they are projected, ESPN projected Jacoby Brissett to return as the quarterback there. He was fine. He was an upgrade over Murray.
What?
Yeah.
Is this a good old boy network or what?
Well, you mean for Hackett to get a gig? Yes. How is he in the NFL as an offensive coordinator at this point?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I was looking at this stuff. And again, what do we have? 21 new offensive coordinators this year in the league?
Yeah, that's great tidbit from Rizzo yesterday.
So they got to come from somewhere. But Nathaniel Hackett, you got to be kidding me. Now, this one here, again, because the head coach is Jeff Hafley in Miami. The projected quarterback there with the Dolphins is Malik Willis. Again, I like the kid. I think the turnaround here from him, what we watch in Tennessee under Matt LaFleur in Green Bay has been a complete 180. And I firmly believe that Malik Willis in the right landing spot is something I can get behind. But him going to play for a defensive coordinator, turned head coach, and the Miami Dolphins, that doesn't move the needle at all.
What are we doing with Anthony Richardson? Are we just done with him, or is it? Is he going to get another opportunity? What's going to happen with his career?
Well, this
I mean,
is
the guy was a top five pick.
I know. You got to give him a chance at some point, don't you?
I would have to put him back in there. I know he got the fluke injury, eye injury, but he benched himself when with the taking himself out of the game.
Sure.
And then the comments afterwards, but we're just giving up on a top five pick like that?
Their projected quarterback in Indy because of the Danny Dimes injury is Gardner Minshew. That's ahead of Riley Leonard and Anthony Richardson.
I'd rather go Riley Leonard.
Oh, so would I. And no, by the way, another draft pick here. You have to, why would you bring in Gardner Minshew? He is what he is at this point. You have to give it a shot with Riley Leonard to see if that kid can play. Maybe he can. But are you just basically telling all of your fans in the entire league that we whiffed completely on Anthony? Then how does the GM still have his job?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that pick in the first place?
Right. Now, let me
tell you this, by the way, quickly, with the Dolphins. Their offensive coordinator is Bobby Slovic.
You hated him.
Houston, terrible job. Yeah. They brought in Kevin Petullo for the passing game coordinator. The passing game coordinator, who was the OC for Jalen Hurts last year, what, two games? Couldn't complete a pass in the second half?
Even if they pay you, that's a horrible spot for Willis. Even though
terrible
you have the Green Bay staff. I would give me Atlanta. Give me another possible destination, no Miami. The other one, though, too, because Mahomes had surgery in December, who's their starting quarterback? Could it be? And they floated Mariota out here. But I like Mariota in Minnesota or Atlanta. That's where I would like him to wind up.
As the starter.
As the starter, yes. If we're not sold on Penix, and I know it's it was a bad year he had, but I put Mariota in those two spots and what you could work with. Now, they put this out here in the article, and it doesn't appear that it's going to happen at all, but they put Cousins to Minnesota because he's going to get cut March 11th.
Mm-hmm.
He is the favorite to go to the Vikings at one global book at 3-1. The Jets are the second choice. I don't know if he's going to be a starter, but apparently I don't think it's going to happen in Minnesota, but that's where I would like Kyler Murray or a good spot for Mariota to wind up too.
Well, okay, so
put Mariota on the Vikings. That's a good fit.
If the Vikings do something other than J.J. McCarthy, then they're going to have to, regardless if it's going to be a guy that would win out that job or be the backup. If it is Kyler Murray or if it is somebody else, that person has to be told, because Daniel Jones, the reason why he left Minnesota is because he was never guaranteed to be the starting quarterback. So he took another gig. Like the person coming in from Minnesota has to be told that he's going to be the starting quarterback over McCarthy, I would think, right? Otherwise, again, if it comes out, let's say you're Kyler Murray and it comes down to Atlanta or Minnesota, and that's like, you know, you're floating it back and forth, the pros and the cons. I can go to Atlanta, play in a kind of a crappy division. They got weapons galore, as do the Vikings, but also they have the Lions, the Packers, and the Bears, and I don't know if I'm going to be the starting quarterback. Probably going to go to Atlanta.
Remember teams lost their minds with Matt Flynn, and he got that huge deal from Seattle?
Yeah.
So could we, now the Bears apparently are getting calls on Bagent. Is there somebody there that's a backup that could shine that hasn't got the opportunity that maybe that we're missing? Is Bagent one of them?
Boy, oh boy. I mean, I would have to see a lot more. He's been tucked away, and we haven't seen nearly enough to... Right? I mean, doesn't that feel like we need a lot more data from him and a much bigger sample size before we can say, make this guy starting quarterback in the league?
And the Browning thing would scare me too. Because Browning was so good the first time in relief of Burrow, but then he was a disaster.
Right. Oh,
and they had to bench him and bring Flacco in after last season.
By the way, if you're the Jets, because I'm looking at that list of teams right now in order for Kirk Cousins, and the Jets are 4-1, like you mentioned, to get him. Like, what's that conversation like if you're New York inside the front office and then like talking to possible quarterbacks? Would you, and again, ESPN is projecting Spencer Rattler to be their week one starter. Why would you not just to become competent on offense, have the conversation with Kirk Cousins? Now, would Kirk want to go there? I mean, if they would give him enough money, because that appears to be what it's all about with that guy, right?
Yeah. I can't imagine he wants that though.
What if he can't go anywhere else? If you told Kirk Cousins that it would be enough money and you can be the starting quarterback as opposed to being a backup somewhere else, because where else does he line up? Any of these teams that are on the board, the Lions, he's the backup.
Hey, what are you noticing here? These options stink. We don't have a lot to work with.
You mean for quarterbacks or the teams that are available?
The quarterback,
here? Yeah. They're all. I mean, I don't really want any of them.
I mean, you're talking about Rattler, Levis, and some of these guys that are rumored to be on the move or what, or a possible solution to the problem that you have.
I know.
And the Jets just screwed this up. They gave Fields 2 for 40.
Mm-hmm.
It was an act of God when he completed a pass.
That's another thing. You don't have to break the bank for any of these quarterbacks. You don't have to do it. Now, the one guy in the list that would move the needle in the right spot is Malik Willis. But I don't, like, which spot is that going to be? Atlanta's intriguing. Offensive coach. I like Stefanski and the weapons there. But other than that, maybe Minnesota.
That's why I think Murray's the big name, though. They don't even put Tua on here. I didn't even see Tua.
No, I didn't either.
I mean, I just, between that contract and the concussions, I think that's it. Find offers near you. Join the 5 million plus users and earn cash back. Groceries, gas, dining. Stuff you use every day. Use it and head to your location with the Upside app and promo code NETWORK. Cash out directly to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Over 5 million users already earning. One of the easiest ways to save on everyday purchases. Download the free Upside app now. Promo code NETWORK. Get 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank. Offers vary by user and location. Upside.com. Get the app now. Upside.com. Upside app now. Code NETWORK.
Heavy hoops card coming up tonight, including two games that fit the angle.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Busy hoops card tonight, NBA and college basketball. Luke DeVosta, our producer, joined us exactly 1 hour and 45 minutes ago, and he broke down what caught his attention this year betting college basketball, some of these numbers. We call it the angle. That's the label that he dubbed it. It's 35 and 10, Pauly, since January 20th when he started to really track this stuff. And it comes down to he uses three sites, Greg Peterson here at VSiN.com, and two other college basketball projection sites. And if they are on the same side as a favorite, but the betting market has the other team favored, that means that you take the dog in the game. For example, tonight, the three sites he uses, they have Charlotte minus 2 or 2.5. You can still find plus 1.5 out there against North Texas. That qualifies as a play. Here at Circuit's a pick 'em. The other game is Loyola Marymount against Washington State later on tonight. All three sites he uses, they have Loyola between 1 and 2.5. You can grab Loyola right now, plus 1.5 in the game.
Let's go. 6 in a row. Let's keep it going. Man, we retweet those, but follow them on X as well. Let's keep it going with the angle. So Rick Pitino has only been a dog of more than 4 points 15 times in the last 6 years. He's 12-3 ATS. UConn trying to get revenge, but laying 5.5 at home tonight.
Mm.
They're on a long winning streak. They're 15-1 in the Big East. They allow 69 points per game. Currently a 5 seed bracketology, but they were plus 17 from the free throw line in the first win in the Garden when they beat UConn 81-72. 22-5 against 25-3. The issue in the UConn losses is they did a bad job on the boards. It's a lot of points to lay. And I know you respect Hurley and UConn here, but again, look at how when do you see Pitino catching this many points, plus the track record as well? Not to mention, and I know you can't just play this game with the common opponent thing, but Creighton beat UConn on the road, and then St. John's dismantled them, took them apart, and it was just the Mutual Admiration Society afterwards and what McDermott said and how great they've been and what Darlene means to the team as well. So 45 minutes away on Peacock, huge game, and we'll see if St. John's can sweep them.
I don't want to lay the five. In fact, I wanted to take the six with St. John's that was out there. By the time I went, I got around to betting it, it was gone, so I'm not going to force a bet right now. It's also like a revenge game from these two teams playing just a couple of weeks ago, so college basketball can be like that. Now, that was played at the Garden. This game is played tonight in Hartford, so I don't know. This is a UConn team that can't, I mean, they're 6-11 covering games in conference, and they're not even really close in any of these. So their power rating doesn't really fit the numbers that they're laying. So I'm just going to pass at this point, and maybe UConn gets out to like a 13-4 run, and I can take St. John's at a little bit of a better number. Now, there's a game starting here in 12 minutes.
Yep, our team.
It's Oakland against IU Indy. Now, this total, the first time I looked, in fact, when Greg Peterson wrote this up last night, the total was 173.5. It's down to 167 right now. The entire market betting the under in this game. The first time that these two teams played, I think we had almost 200 points combined. And IU Indy plays at this breakneck pace, obviously. That's why they caught our attention right away back in November. Is it down now low enough to actually bet it over, you think, at 167?
Okay. Yep, I do. Mm-hmm. I expect fireworks on that one.
I think we're probably going to get it as well.
Four late games, very important. Number one, we already mentioned an angle play with Iola Marymount. The other one, I kind of like Wisconsin tonight at Oregon. Humans will talk more about that coming up. Mm-hmm. The other two games are, I think this is a tournament game. I think the winner is in tonight. Games on CBS College Sports, St. Mary's and Santa Clara. Santa Clara's got a 76% chance to get in. They have the 40th ranked resume. They already beat St. Mary's. Both teams are 14-2 in league. St. Mary's has an 88% chance to make the tournament. They are the 9 seed at Bracketology, 31st in resume ranking. No quad one wins. They play Gonzaga at home Saturday. They're going to also face Santa Clara for a third time in the semifinals out here for the right to play Gonzaga in the title game. Are you going to take St. Mary's and Santa Clara doesn't get in if Santa Clara sweeps them, even though St. Mary's has a better resume? This is, right, they're quite the conundrum here. Or will they just get three teams in? I think the winner's in. Number one, Santa Clara gets the broom out on them.
Right.
They're on the last four in right now and get that much-needed quality win. Number two, St. Mary's is already in on the 9 line, and they're going to have, oh, they just got to get one of these, whether it's at home tonight, at home Saturday, or in the round three against Santa Clara.
Well, please tell me it doesn't come down to the loser of this game in Miami of Ohio if they have a loss.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, there's another team that lost last night that was recently in the tournament, I think before their game, Auburn. What are we talking about here?
Oh, fair enough.
What are they, 15-13 on the year?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yep.
We don't need 17 teams in from the SEC every single year.
Yep. So that's a huge game tonight, and I think St. Mary's gets revenge. But again, they've only had only once in the last 13 years as this conference got three teams in. And then San Diego State is down to 27% to make the tournament. They just lost back-to-back games to Grand Canyon and Colorado State. Not a top 50 resume now. Five years in a row, the Mountain West has sent three teams or more to the tournament. They're going to be lucky to get two. New Mexico was the last team in, and they lost at Nevada. And now the Aztecs need to win not only this tonight at home against Utah State, but have to keep it going, and they play New Mexico on Saturday. Utah State has a 7 seed right now. They're coming off a tough loss at Nevada. They were 5.5-point favorites. But I know I go back to the track record, and we've lived here 26 years. This is a game that the Aztecs usually find a way to win.
Usually, yes. First meeting again, 71-66 Utah State. Aggies.
Aztecs blew a big lead.
Yep. Aggies only 6-10 ATS in the league. Aztecs are 9-7. But again, like you mentioned here, and we've talked about a couple of times on the show so far, recent games for San Diego State, favored by 8 against Grand Canyon, lost by 10, favored by 2.5 over Colorado State. The Rams are pretty decent. They lost that one by 9. Utah State, damn good, 23-4 overall. What an underrated program that is.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, they win.
They lose their coach every year.
Oh, yeah, and they're good for 25, 27 wins, the way it seems every single season.
Yep. Do you like Wisconsin? Or are you concerned about the travel?
I can't get there because I think it's a weird spot. You like them? I'll see what Human says coming up in 10 minutes. Maybe you guys can twist my arm on that one.
Bracketology has them a 7 seed right now.
Well, if they do some damage, they can climb, I think. they might be able to get as high as a five.
Same type of spot. SMU is currently an 8 seed. They're laying 3.5 at Cal. Cal is last four out at bracketology. That's a big game. Torvik has SMU 34. Torvik, as I mentioned earlier, though, but Torvik has Santa Clara 28 and St. Mary's 29 with this game tonight.
I'm very intrigued by Celtics Nuggets in the NBA. It's three games and four nights now for Boston. Denver, meanwhile, hasn't played since Sunday night. There was no Jaylen Brown last night. And this, you want to talk about a completely different game for Boston. They played a game that was, what, 91-77 or in that neighborhood last night, super low scoring against Phoenix. And that's a team that can't score at all right now. There's no Booker. There's no Dylan Brooks. And now they get to take on a team with the number one offense in the entire league in Denver. And Joker, obviously, Murray and company. And the total is 229.5. At first blush, I thought, okay, give me the Celtics again because they're like historically good on the road. But then you realize the Nuggets haven't played since Sunday and it's 3 and 4 nights for the Celtics. So I'm off this game. But now with Jaylen Brown back in this spot, Peyton Pritchard had an off night last night with no Brown in the game. Again, more defensive-minded. This is going to be much more open tonight. That guy's been good for 20-plus in every game with Brown going back. Now, the prop is still 18.5, but I think maybe alt numbers come in on Pritchard again tonight. And he has been like a revelation coming off the bench. What a move by Missoula. And I don't disagree with the people who are out there saying that. I know Bickerstaff's done an amazing job, but Missoula's got to win Coach of the Year. I don't disagree. Probably his best coaching job to date.
Do the Spurs keep it going? 10 in a row?
It's a good spot for them.
Yes, it is. 6.5 at Toronto. Raptors on a back-to-back. And the tough loss yesterday to OKC.
Don't know if they cover, but I like them to win the game.
I like Golden State. And I know you said earlier maybe it's something to monitor in play. I mean, this is tankerific what Memphis is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, to think you lost to the Kings and the lineup you put on the floor was atrocious. Goes back to all the tanking and how do you charge customers, you know, full ticket prices and what's going on. That's the other thing. I like what Barkley said. You can't increase ticket prices if you're doing this either. If you're under 500 or if you're tanking, you got to get money back.
Oh, that's a good point.
What's doing. But they've been terrible and the lineup they're putting out there. Golden State should be able to win and cover lane 3.5 on the road. And another thing to monitor too, I think, because Sacramento, like Nick Whalen said, they actually can afford to, it's okay if they win a game. Because they only are at 13 wins and they ended that 16-game losing streak. They played Westbrook and DeRozan in the fourth quarter of that game.
Right.
So if they continue to send them out there in the fourth quarter, I think they can at least keep it competitive against Houston and they're catching 13.5.
That certainly, I mean, changes a little bit of the philosophy here with the overall tank job. How many cushion games can teams still afford to win and actually make it look good? It's a game-by-game basis. Some of these teams can't, like a Utah can't slip too far out.
Yep, yep.
Another one would be Indiana.
I can't put you off the Bucks either. No Mitchell, Harden questionable. Bucks catching 3.5. They've won 7 of 9. And again, they were underdogs last night and won.
Heumann's next. Details on the college contest starting this weekend here on VSiN. And he has an opinion on St. John's UConn starting top of the hour. Welcome back. Okay, let's get some hardcore college hoops bets tonight. And also, the contest here at Circa and on VSiN kicks up again this weekend. Matt Heumann joins the program now on the Progressive Guest Line. Matt, can you share the details? I know Paul Stone's the defending champ. What else do you have to share about the contest beginning tomorrow night or Friday night?
Yeah, Paul Stone's going to be back. By the way, I was driving across town listening to your show today, and I heard you telling a story about your son, who's he's about 2 years old, and he's a ladies' man, right?
Yeah, true.
And I could hear the envy in Paul Howard's voice, and all I could think of was Paul and Shauna have been together for a long time now. Paul, I think it's about time you had a kid so you and Mitch can trade stories.
That's 5 million to 1.
Yeah, she said there's no way that's happening.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Store's closed. That's it. No doubt about it.
Okay. Well, the Circa College Hoops Challenge is going to start Friday night, but it really starts Saturday morning because Circa puts out the overnight lines for college hoops at about 6 o'clock on Friday. So that's not really compatible with our 4 to 7 p.m. show. So we're going to leave the website open all night for entrants to put in their plays. And Tim Murray's going to announce all the plays on his Saturday morning show.
Very nice.
At around 8 o'clock. So we'll send all the plays out by VSIM Pro email, and they're all going to be on the website. But they're going to be up Saturday morning before the games start, because we have to give people a fair amount of time. And just basketball contests just really don't work with a Friday night show, because the overnight numbers don't come out soon enough. But Paul Stone, the defending champ, is going to be back. David Dineen, former Cal Poly sharpshooter, the champ 2 years ago, he's back in the tournament. Will Hill from VSIN, who won the inaugural tournament in, I guess, would have been 2023. So all three former champs are back. And, hey, we got the Circa Friday Football Invitational winner, Chris Massaro, is going to be in, and he's trying to pull off the rare double. Nobody's ever pulled off winning both handicapping tournaments in the same year. We have professional underwear model Dustin Sweetelson, and we have the GOAT of first touchdown props, Ryan Kramer.
Good.
So we got 15 handicappers, a bunch of VSIN guys, and you're going to get five best bets each week. This is going to go for 8 rounds and 45 plays. It's going to go all the way through the Monday night national championship game.
Excellent. What do you think tonight in half an hour? It's rare that Patino's catching this type of number. Well, what do you think of UConn 5.5 against St. John's?
You know, I don't play too many favorites. I played four sides in college hoops last night, and all four were dogs. But I'm playing the favorite here. Mm. And I laid 5 with UConn last night. When I watched the game between these teams on February 6th at the Garden, I circled it that night and said, when these teams play again, I'm going to bet UConn. I was hoping the number was actually going to come out a little bit shorter. I was hoping for maybe 3.5 or something like that here. But I laid 5 last night, and I think this number's high for a reason. Hurley has lost 3 in a row to Patino. Mm-hmm. You know that eats at him, and you know he wants to stop that streak tonight. And Hurley actually plays 9 pretty good players. This UConn team's deep. That loss to Creighton last week was a head-scratcher. I get it. When I saw the score, I couldn't even believe the UConn lost that game to Creighton. But, you know, sometimes that happens. Look, Michigan struggled at Penn State. Michigan struggled with Minnesota last night. So you're going to have off games. I think you're going to have a fully focused favorite here, highly motivated by their coach. UConn did bounce back with a win at Villanova over the weekend. And in that first meeting, the reason I circled it is I felt like UConn kind of got effed by the officials in that game. The free throw edge was plus 17 for St. John's, and it was 22 for 31 from the line for the Johnnies and 5 for 12 for UConn. And I think you're going to see kind of a reversal of that tonight. And even though this St. John's team has not lost since January 3rd and won 13 in a row, look at the opponents. Not a real impressive list of opponents. I think UConn wins and possibly wins big tonight.
Ooh. Okay, fair enough. Okay, as you said, you like to bet dogs. This is maybe the exception. Mm-hmm. UConn laying the 5 there against St. John's. Are you fading one of, if not the hottest teams in the entire country, the defending champion Florida Gators, on the road against Texas?
Okay, so when I sent you that email last night, I was looking to bet Texas here, and 7 was my target number. It was pretty much 6 across the board. And I thought, well, I'll sleep for a couple hours. When I wake up, this number is certainly going to be 7 somewhere, and I can bet it. It actually went the other way. It went down to 6, 5.5. So I have not played it. I do want to play Texas here, but I'm probably going to live bet this game. But talk about this a lot. If you don't get the number you want pregame, be patient. Just sit back. You know, you can watch 5 minutes, and I might be able to get Texas plus 8.5, right, or something like that. So I do want the Texas side here, but I'm not taking the number because I wanted at least 7.
All right. Is that right now, guys? 7 at Circa?
Yeah, it looks like maybe 7 at Circa.
7 here at Circa right now. All right. So the last time you were on, we talked about the Utah State-New Mexico game, and you made an excellent point about it's scary to lay 1.5. It's like they're begging you to take the favorite and the false favorite here, and it seemed, and Utah State blew them out. Well, here it is again. The Aztecs now have played themselves off the bubble, losing 2 in a row. They're 1.5 at home to Utah State. What do you think?
So I bet San Diego State is a pick 'em last night. The Aztecs have lost 2 in a row, and obviously you can talk about must wins all you want for teams trying to get in the tournament. That's not much of a handicapping angle for me. It's just the first time these teams played, I thought the Aztecs outplayed them for a majority of the game and blew it late and ended up losing that 71-66. They're not playing their best ball right now, but how many times have you seen San Diego State lose three in a row, right? This is the type of game that Steve Fisher, Brian Dutcher always win. Utah State has actually not been very good on the road. I put a small bet on the Aztecs to pick them last night, and it's only a small bet because the line is suspicious to me.
Yep.
I made San Diego State a three-point favorite here. When I saw this, I said, okay, something's not right. So I'm a little bit hesitant to make this play, but I did make it on the Aztecs.
By the way,
Magoon Gwath, their big man who's a rim defender, he's not playing a lot of minutes, but he is back. So I think the Aztecs are at full strength tonight, too.
I never thought of it until you said it on that show. Teams laying 1.5, 2.5 have been absolutely pathetic. And they usually get blown out when you go back and look. How about Wisconsin and Oregon? What do you think of Wisconsin on the road laying a short number?
Okay, so I don't love recommending money line parlays on favorites, but I'm going to play whiskey on a money line parlay tonight. And just because I don't trust Badgers laying the points here. Oregon's been playing better since Nate Biddle came back. And Biddle's made a difference. I mean, he's a guy that does a little bit of everything for that Oregon offense, and he's actually a pretty good post defender too. So with Biddle back, the Ducks are not as pathetic as they were before. In fact, they were very competitive and had a shot to beat Purdue on the road as about an 18-point dog a couple weeks ago. I love the way Whiskey's playing in general. Draw a line through the blowout loss at Ohio State. I think this Whiskey team is playing at a really high level. Probably gets the win tonight, but I just don't want to lay the points. So if you're looking for some other favorites on the card to match it up with, I played Grand Canyon and Iowa. And these numbers, the Iowa number has gone up a little bit. It was 6 overnight. I think it's when I left home, I think it was around 7 or 7.5. But Iowa's not going to lose to Ohio State tonight. Grand Canyon is not going to lose to UNLV. So take that for what it's worth. If you like putting together favorites, I know sharp, it's not the sharpest way to bet all the time, but sometimes if you like favorites and you want to pair a couple up on a money line parlay, Grand Canyon and Iowa would be a couple good ones tonight. And maybe you throw whiskey on there with UConn or something like that.
Okay, very good. A couple of minutes left here. Matt Eumann's our guest, Progressive Guest Line. Who do you like? Who are you going to go to war with this week, beginning tomorrow now at the Cognizant Classic on the PGA Tour?
Okay, I'll tell you that. By the way, you said Texas is a +7 now. Is that everywhere or is it just at Circa?
That was at Circa on the screen. I'll look here while you're talking about the PGA.
Okay. All right, so the Cognizant Classic in South Florida is definitely not one of the marquee events. In fact, the West Coast Swing on the PGA Tour is my favorite time of year to bet golf. You go to Florida, it's a little bit tougher to handicap. And in fact, most of the top players are not in this tournament. But Shane Lowry is in this tournament, so I'm going to take the fat Irishman here. He's got 3 top fives in the past 4 years in this tournament, and he finished 11th last year. But 4 years in a row, he's been in the hunt to win this tournament. He's done everything but win it. International players have fared well on this course. So I played Lowry at 19-1, also played Lowry top 10 at +230. And I think that's probably a pretty good bet there, considering the guy's been 11th or better 4 years in a row. So Shane Lowry, top 10 +230. That's the only bet I'm going to have on this golf tournament.
Okay, very good. It looks like, by the way, tons of steam coming in the Gators before tip. FanDuel's up to 7.5, Matt.
Really? Well, let me tell you this about steam. Don't let steam scare you away if you like his side. You guys realize what happened. You probably talked about what happened last night with UCF and BYU.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, crazy.
I took UCF +11.5 overnight, thinking that was a pretty good number. It gets steamed all the way up to 14, and I'm sitting there doing the show with Hoops Peterson last night thinking, well, I must be screwed on this. Somebody knows something about BYU, and then UCF blows their doors off. So don't let the steam scare you away if you like a play.
Well said. I'm searching right now if maybe somebody's out for Texas. I can't find anything right now, so just must be that's coming in. Thanks, Matt. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Best bets coming up in Pocket Plays on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it. I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds. Nope. 5-1. Nope. 10-1. You're up.
All right. Easy winner and a bad pick. Porter over points last night for the Bucks. Over 17.5. He had 32 in the Bucks win. He was awesome again and dished out a lot of assists. Kuzma showed up for Milwaukee, and that dog had fleas. Thought it was a good spot for USC. Rivalry game, last four out on the bubble, playing UCLA off the huge win against Illinois, and they lost by 20 after hanging around in the first half. Right back with St. Mary's, 4.5 at home against Santa Clara, trying to even up the scores. They lost the first meeting. I think the winner of tonight's game is in Santa Clara to make the tournament. No, $1.15, and Miami of Ohio to make it. No, plus 320. That was a couple weeks ago. Greg Peterson, I thought, had a good line last night with Matt Youmans. If they go and they won last night, if they go 33-1 and can't get an at-large bid, what is the point of the regular season for a mid-major program?
There is no point.
No.
None.
That's outrageous. And Jerry Palm has them out if that's a scenario. And I know the media did a mock bracket exercise, and they had them losing to Akron in the MAC conference title game and getting the last four in. They'd be in the play-in at 33-1.
Yeah, I mean, it is still the MAC we're talking about. So, not a power league, obviously, but it's also not one of the worst conferences. And these are not 16 seeds we're talking about.
Yeah, come on. Come on. So, right back with Porter tonight. Over points. He's been so good for the Bucks, and the Bucks have really turned this around after they were so bad without Freak. And now they've won 7 of 9, and most of those as an underdog, like they did last night as well. Porter over 17.5 points. And also St. Mary's in pocket, the late game at home against Santa Clara. Good luck.
Let me give you this scenario for the Milwaukee Bucks. Guys like Porter, Rollins keep playing well.
Yep.
They keep it afloat. They get to the play-in game. Freak comes back. They make the playoffs. Are they any threat whatsoever to a team like Detroit, maybe Boston?
I would have to get I would have to get a guarantee from Freak that he's back.
That he's 100% healthy.
Yes, because I agree people should lose their jobs if he comes back and plays another minute. All he has to do is when he refuses to sign that extension in the summer, then your hands are tied and that's all she wrote. So you got to move him at that point. Plus, the offers will be a lot better than they were at the trade deadline.
Because let's pretend for a second like that scenario happens. And the Bucks keep winning. Like, I think they might win the game tonight. I mean, there's no Mitchell. Harden broke his thumb last night. He's going to play, evidently. But the Bucks winning this game would not even be that much of an upset in this game.
No.
So if they, and I have them under 30.5 wins after, like, the Freak stuff came out, that's a loser already. I mean, it's dead the way they're playing. I just, the amount of people who are going to suggest to bet the Bucks to win the East if Freak were to come back, I think it would be a nightmare matchup if they would get Detroit or Boston. The Knicks, it might be a different story.
It's
been
a fun run, but it's also you have to take into account a lot of times that the opposition overlooks them and just assumes they're going to have no problems. And next thing you know, these guys are playing well. I give them credit. You know, Rollins and Porter are leading the way, and they're going over their props every night. But they are not a good basketball team.
2-1 last night. The loser was, they made 100 threes last night. The Hornets did. They were making it rain. But Con Knipple had 3, not 3.5. I grabbed that plus money against the Bulls as a terrible three-point defensive team in awful form right now anyway. That was no good, but there's no Cooper Flagg again tomorrow, which means the number on Con Knipple to win the Rookie of the Year keeps going down. And he was at last check about an hour ago.
Boy,
as low, like
good.
2-1.
This is really getting juicy.
He might pull this off, Paulie.
Joker can only miss one more game. SGA is out again tonight. I think that's 12 now. Wemby can only miss two more games, even though people have been betting him. This is right there for Cade Cunningham.
The winners last night, Donovan Clingan did have two blocks again against the T-Wolves. That was a winner at plus 116, and the Heat Bucks game did go over 228. All right, pending and some of the new stuff as well. First round leader tomorrow, Cognizant Classic. These guys are both teeing off very early. I bet Steven Yeager at 55-1 and Keith Mitchell at 40-1. Some teams to make the Final Four here from last week. Virginia 17, St. John 16, Arkansas plus 1150. New plays tonight. I got a bunch of player props and some more golf. Will Zalatoris, top 20 at plus 190. Eric Van Rooyen, top 40, plus 140. Those are small. Well, that's a half a unit bet. And then in the NBA tonight, there's no Chet Holmgren. OKC's without a ton of guys. Jalen Duren since the All-Star break. 26-13, 25-14 against Wemby and the Spurs the other night. I bet him to go over 20.5 points and rebounds in this game, laid 20 cents. I'm piggybacking Kevin Porter, but I'm not going to go points. I'm going to go points, rebounds, and assists over 30.5, laid 13 cents. Last night blew by that number. The other night he went over that as well. And in fact, I'll give you this. In eight February games, he is averaging 22 points, 8.3 assists, and 5.1 rebounds. Got to play that tonight. And in that Pistons-OKC game, Cason Wallace has been fantastic the last couple of games. Last night, 27-8-7. The night before, or two nights before that, he had 20-10-4 with three steals. So he's going to play a ton of minutes. He's been super aggressive, taking a lot more shots. I played a same-game parlay tonight. This is a fun pizza bet. 10-plus points, 4-plus rebounds, 4-plus assists, and three steals. At 7-1. The guy's averaging 2.5 steals per game. He's had multiple games with 4 or 5 steals on the year. And I figure he's going to get 35 minutes again tonight.
Another one, NHL back tonight. I expect fireworks early. I wouldn't put you off a round robin 3s, 4s, and 5s with some of these games early on. We got backup goalies in Vancouver. You got the Knights sitting a ton of guys. Anaheim and Edmonton. I don't mind this goal in the first 10. With the round robin with some of those, and Circa has the best prices for goal in the first 10. College hoop season heating up. Best betting stretch of the year right around the corner. Conference tournaments start next week, and we're offering our Hoops Mania special. VSiN Pro access through May 1st, just $29.99. Every best bet, every host, every guest. If you're betting the tournament's a must, VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, set this up. I want to hear this.
Well, this is from Pot of the Futures, available now wherever you get your podcasts. We've been talking about the Cavaliers futures for the last, week or so on this show because we were on vacation. Von Tobel, exceedingly high on this team. Have a listen.
Not the case for the Cleveland Cavaliers. This Cavs schedule, as you move forward, is so nice that you're looking at the remaining strength of schedule for Cleveland and going, dude, this team could really do some damage. They have the fourth easiest schedule left, the easiest left in the Eastern Conference right now. Portland, Sacramento, and the Clippers all have easier schedules, but this team could destroy their last 23 games or so.
What do you think about them at 9-1 in that neighborhood to win the division?
It's one thing I keep going back to. I added them at 10-1. I think we talked about that an episode or two ago. That is the one thing that I will kind of harp on one more time. With the fact that Cade Cunningham and this Pistons team has these many roadblocks in front of them in terms of how good the schedule is, this is going to be a big test for them. And I think that this is the opportunity to do it because they still have two games against OKC. They've got two games against Cleveland. They've got two games against Minnesota. They've got a game left against the Spurs. That's down in their last 25 games or so. It is a monster of a schedule for Detroit.
So that, again, we recorded that on Monday night late called Pot of the Futures. The problem is now they're getting a big break tonight.
Huge.
The Pistons are because nobody's playing for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, they're laying 10.5.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to take it a step further. I have 9-1 too, but a lot of it was, I don't think there's enough time left. I think they're too far back. And I know that all those games against the bad teams and the teams that are tanking, I think 8 game could be 9 after tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose to the Bucks without Mitchell. 9 back in the loss column. So now 10-11-1. I saw 11-1 yesterday at Caesars to win the division. I think to win the conference plus 290 is crazy. Because they were exposed last year after being such a great regular season team. Indiana dismantled them and took them out in 5. Couldn't even make it out of the second round.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to face the Knicks in the second round or the Celtics. Probably that's probably your 2-3 matchup.
Well,
I think the Knicks are going to get the 4 because to his point, the Cleveland schedule so easy, and you have to respect Boston and what they're doing, and I think Detroit gets the one.
Which team would be better off for Cleveland, you think? I think the Knicks.
I'd rather face the Knicks than Detroit or Boston.
I'm growing to really like this Boston team a lot.
It's impressive. Plus, who knows what happens with Tatum? You never know. He might come back.
Yep. Stay tuned. VSiN Primetime coming up next. Femi's back doing the show with Will Hill. 4 hours of live betting action with a huge night of sports. Enjoy it. Best of luck. We'll see you.